Today is Friday, March 7th, 2025, and you are listening to the World Socialist website. The defense of science requires a fight for socialism, a statement of the Socialist Equality Party, U.S. The Stand Up for Science protests taking place today mark a significant development in the growing opposition to the fascistic Trump administration. Thousands of scientists, workers, professionals, students, and youth have organized demonstrations in Washington, D.C. and more than 100 other locations across the U.S., Canada, and Europe to oppose Trump's attacks on science and democratic rights. The Socialist Equality Party welcomes these demonstrations. We call for the broadest possible mobilization of the working class and for the expansion of the protests internationally. There must be a global fight against the destruction of critical public health programs, as well as infrastructure monitoring Earth's weather and climate, the health of lakes, rivers, forests, and grasslands, fish and wildlife, and more. This assault is being spearheaded by the fascist billionaire Elon Musk in the name of improving so-called government efficiency, which is Orwellian doublespeak for eradicating all limitations on the accumulation of wealth by the corporate oligarchy. Trump and Musk are taking particular aim at all aspects of public health, already slashing over 5,000 positions across the 13 units of the Department of Health and Human Services, the HHS. Their chief agent is HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who embodies the total repudiation of science and progress. One of the most notorious purveyors of anti-vaccine disinformation and quackery, with no relevant health qualifications, Kennedy now oversees what were once the world's preeminent public health agencies. He is responsible for handling multiple health crises, including the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, a catastrophic flu season that has already killed 20,000 Americans this winter, the growing threat of an H5N1 bird flu pandemic, and the worst measles outbreak in the U.S. over a decade. With this vicious opponent of science at the helm of HHS, the dangers posed to the American and world population cannot be overstated. Among the most significant attacks on science carried out in just the first 6 weeks of the Trump administration are withdrawing from the World Health Organization and any form of international collaboration to fight viruses and diseases that know no borders, denying the reality of climate change and seeking to ban any discussion of the role of giant corporations and the fossil fuel industries in causing it, implementing funding freezes affecting scientific research across multiple agencies and universities, including the cutoff of billions in funding for the National Institutes of Health, laying off roughly 5,000 workers at the Environmental Protection Agency, National Park Service, and Forest Service, manipulating vital Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC reports, to cover up science related to bird flu while imposing a gag order across public health and other federal agencies, threatening to completely dismantle the Department of Education. All these actions will have vast real-world ramifications for the American and international working class. Cumulatively, they represent characteristic ideological features of far-right politics: contempt for science, education, public health, philosophical materialism, and the progressive legacy of the Enlightenment. The administration's ultranationalist America First program is inherently hostile to international scientific collaboration, which is essential for addressing global challenges like climate change and pandemic prevention. The fight for a scientific understanding of nature and society must reject all attempts to divide humans by race, a social construct engendered by the capitalist ruling elite to suppress social opposition. This requires an explicit rejection of the bipartisan attacks on immigrants, including the attempts by Trump to end birthright citizenship. Any defense of science, however, cannot be left in the hands of the Democratic Party, which has been given a platform at many of today's protests. It was the Biden administration which carried out the forever COVID policy of unending mass infection, death, and debilitation with long COVID. The continued spread of COVID-19, as well as the emergence of bird flu and the return of long-eliminated pathogens like measles, are all a consequence of the Biden administration's open repudiation of public health, which paved the way for Trump and Kennedy. 8 years ago, similar protests were organized against the first Trump administration under the banner of a March for Science, involving over 1 million people globally. That these demonstrations must be repeated today is a testament to the failure of any strategy aimed at pressuring the Democratic Party, one of the two parties of the American capitalist class. A break with the Democrats also requires a break with the trade union bureaucracies, which have long stifled any independent challenge to the ruling elite. They share central responsibility, along with the pseudo-left Democratic Socialists of America, the DSA, for the unsafe reopening of factories, workplaces, and schools at the height of the COVID-19 pandemic, which led to the needless deaths of hundreds of thousands of Americans. Special note must be taken of the United Auto Workers, the UAW, an official supporter and sponsor of today's protests, which has worked to wholly accommodate itself to the Trump administration. On Tuesday, after Trump announced his latest round of tariffs against Canada, Mexico, and China, UAW President Sean Fain declared, quote, "We look forward to working with the White House to shape the auto tariffs in April to benefit the working class," end quote. Anyone who studies economics scientifically knows that tariffs will only bring ruin to the working class because of both skyrocketing prices and the thousands of layoffs in the auto industry and beyond that will result. The fight for science is, above all, a class issue. As with the book burning of the Nazis, every reactionary government and historically outmoded social class has denigrated and persecuted science and a materialist world outlook for definite political ends. The development of science has thus always depended on progressive social forces. Under capitalism, the international working class is the revolutionary force in society, whose objective position stands in direct opposition to the capitalist state, trade union bureaucrats, corporate oligarchs, and the capitalist socioeconomic system as a whole. Modern science and technology have made it possible to wipe out hunger and disease, vanquish ignorance and mysticism, and provide a high standard of living for every human being on the planet. Moreover, the revolutionary developments in transportation and communications, most recently through the artificial intelligence revolution, have shattered the barriers to human interaction and made possible the education and integration of all humanity on a scale never before seen in history. The fight for science and human progress can only take place through the building of a socialist movement in the working class. Scientists are experiencing the same process of proletarianization now affecting doctors, teachers, and other professionals. Scientists must recognize their common interests with all workers facing attacks on their living standards, jobs, and democratic rights. No matter your education level or salary, to the oligarchy that rules America, you are as expendable as any other worker. A genuine defense of science requires the preparation of mass strike action by all federal workers, including those in scientific agencies, against job cuts, funding freezes, and attacks on working conditions. This must be connected to a broader movement of the entire working class in the U.S. and internationally against inequality and exploitation. The same scientific methods necessary to understand the natural world must also be applied to understand society. A materialist analysis clearly demonstrates that capitalism is a historically outmoded social system that stands as the chief obstacle to human progress. We call on all those attending today's protests to join the International Youth and Students for Social Equality and the Socialist Equality Party and to build a revolutionary socialist movement to carry forward the defense of science as part of the struggle for a socialist society based on social equality instead of private profit. Germany Leads the Way as Europe Rearms, by Peter Schwartz. Europe is responding to the growing conflict with the U.S. by massively rearming. The President of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, yesterday presented the assembled heads of state and government of the European Union with a plan to rearm Europe, which she said would raise an additional 800 billion euros over 4 years for military equipment, military support for Ukraine, and the development of a European defense industry. Facilitated by a relaxation of EU debt rules and other incentives, 650 billion euros is to come from the member states themselves. The EU intends to provide a further 150 billion euros in a fund. Von der Leyen said, explaining her initiative, quote, "We are in an era of rearmament. Europe is ready to massively increase its defense spending," end quote. It was about both, quote, "the short-term urgency to act and to support Ukraine, and the long-term need to take much more responsibility for our own European security," end quote. In a televised address to the French people on Wednesday evening, French President Emmanuel Macron reiterated his offer to extend France's nuclear umbrella to Germany and other European countries. He would, quote, "respond to the historic appeal," end quote, by future German Chancellor Friedrich Merz of the Christian Democratic Union, the CDU, and talk about an extended nuclear deterrent, Macron said. However, the decision on the use of nuclear weapons will always remain in the hands of the French president. In contrast to von der Leyen, who kept a low diplomatic profile, Macron attacked the U.S. directly. Unlike in past, quote, "our ally in America," end quote, "can no longer be relied on," he said. Quote, "We must strengthen our defense. In this respect, we remain linked to NATO, but we must strengthen our independence. The future of Europe must not be decided in Washington or Moscow," end quote. Macron accused Russia of having, quote, become a threat to France and Europe for years to come, end quote. No one can believe, quote, that Russia will stop after Ukraine, end quote. Germany is blazing the trail in Europe's rearmament program. On Tuesday evening, the leaders of the CDU, the Christian Social Union, the CSU, and the Social Democrats, the SPD, who are negotiating a coalition government, appeared before the press and announced a rearmament program that hardly anyone could have imagined just a few days ago. At around 1 trillion euros, it is 10 times greater than the special fund that Olaf Scholz's government adopted 3 years ago, which he described as a new era. All defense spending that exceeds 1% of economic output, around 45 billion euros, is to be exempt from the debt brake, which sets strict limits on new government borrowing. Originally, a further special fund of 400 billion euros had been under discussion. With the regulation now proposed, military expenditure can be increased far beyond this. Experts estimate it could rise by at least 500 billion euros. A special fund for infrastructure. In addition, the CDU, CSU, and SPD have agreed on a special fund totaling 500 billion euros, which is also not subject to the debt brake. This is to be used to finance the expansion of infrastructure. However, this is not, as the SPD would have us believe, about repairing schools and investing in hospitals, but about direct and indirect preparation for war. In addition to the rearmament and expansion of the Bundeswehr, the German armed forces, financed from the defense budget, achieving so-called war readiness requires the development of a huge arms industry that is independent of U.S. imports and the expansion of war-related infrastructure. This is the purpose of the special fund. The project is reminiscent of Hitler's famous Autobahn construction, which was also presented as a civilian project, but in reality served in the rapid transport of troops. Today, the issue at stake is also the transport of troops. President of the IFO think tank, Clemens Fuest, who proposed the fund together with other economists, told the FAZ newspaper that it should be used to, quote, invest in civil defense and in the military upgrading of infrastructure, stable bridges, first and foremost, end quote. The fund will also focus on digitalization, reconnaissance satellites, secure communication, drones, and other weapons technologies crucial for modern warfare, and in which Europe lags far behind the U.S., as well as independence from supply chains and the supply of raw materials and energy. A background paper written by the president of the Kiel Institute for the World Economy, Moritz Schulerich, who, like IFO head Fuest, is part of the group of economists who proposed the special huge fund, is revealing. The paper also bears the signatures of two leading defense industry executives, Thomas Enders, the former CEO of Airbus, and the current president of think tank DGAP, and René Obermann, Airbus Supervisory Board Chairman. Airbus is the second largest defense company in Europe. The paper makes clear that the gigantic arms buildup is not for defense, as claimed, but to escalate the war against Russia with vast quantities of modern weaponry and to prepare for further wars. The paper's core is, quote, an appeal to direct defense billions specifically towards creating asymmetric superiority in the event of war, end quote, according to the FAZ, which has access to the text. Overall, the proposals are aimed at, quote, superiority on the modern battlefield and less on support or logistics aspects of defense, end quote. Germany must initiate a SPARTA project, Strategic Protection and Advanced Resilience Technology Alliance, for European defense, the economists and defense industry executives demand. This means, quote, the immediate launch of major armaments programs with a focus on new technologies and sovereign intra-European procurement, end quote. Today, superiority on the battlefield is achieved through mass in combination with technological excellence, as the war in Ukraine shows. In the short term, the paper calls for, among other things, a, quote, extensive drone wall over NATO's eastern flank, end quote, with tens of thousands of combat drones. In the medium term, technical improvements such as, quote, European multi-domain combat cloud for the decentralized network use of data on the battlefield, end quote, are to be developed. Constitutional amendment at breakneck speed. The CDU, CSU, and SPD are seeking to adopt their huge rearmament program with tremendous haste, ruthlessly disregarding election promises and democratic procedures. They have agreed on the funding before the actual coalition negotiations on the joint program of the new government, which will not be elected until mid-April at the earliest, have even begun. In order to obtain the necessary two-thirds majority, the voted-out Bundestag will be convened once again to pass the necessary constitutional amendments in the third reading on March 17th at the latest. They are to be approved by the Bundesrat, the upper chamber of parliament, on March 21st. The new Bundestag will then convene for the first time March 25th. This unprecedented procedure, which ruthlessly tramples over the election results, was chosen because the SPD and CDU-CSU, together with the Greens, have the required two-thirds majority in the old Bundestag. In the new Bundestag, they would have to rely on support from the left party or the far-right Alternative for Germany, the AfD. The Greens are still reluctant. They are offended because they were not consulted at an earlier stage. However, they have already made it clear that they will vote in favor of the constitutional amendment if the words, quote, climate protection, end quote, are inserted somewhere in the text. Chancellor-designate Friedrich Merz vehemently spoke out against relaxing the debt brake during the parliamentary election campaign. Now, in less than 10 days, he has done a 180-degree turn and is in favor of a rearmament program that would increase the national debt from the current 63% to 90% or even 100% of annual economic output within a short space of time. Merz justified his new stance by saying that Europe must grow up in the face of new international challenges. Quote, whatever it takes, end quote, must now apply to defense, he declared. The phrase was coined by former European Central Bank chief Mario Draghi, who used it during the financial crisis to announce support for the banks to the tune of around 500 billion euros. The scale of the rearmament program that is now being introduced is reminiscent of the early years of the Nazi dictatorship. The share of the military budget in the German national product rose from 1.5% in 1932 to 5.5% in 1935, the third year of Hitler's rule. As financing from tax revenues was no longer possible, armaments were financed by state-backed loans. The higher the debts rose, the more inevitable the war became. Germany would have been bankrupt if Hitler had not invaded Poland in 1939 and later the Soviet Union and started the most brutal campaign of plunder in history. Dominate Europe to become a world power. Sums on a similar scale are involved this time around, and the German ruling class is going down the same path again. It is trying to dominate Europe in order to become a world power. Back in 2014, Ursula von der Leyen, then the German defense minister, and the current federal president, Frank-Walter Steinmeier, then foreign minister, announced that Germany must once again play a role in world politics that is commensurate with its economic weight. Since then, the country has massively rearmed and played a leading role in the war against Russia and Ukraine. Now those in power see an opportunity to free themselves from American domination. An editorial published in Der Spiegel on March 6th, expressed this with remarkable candor. Under the headline, quote, America is now our adversary, end quote, Matthew von Rohr wrote, quote, the Western alliance is broken. Europe must now become strong itself or it will perish, end quote. According to Der Spiegel, the significance of this fundamental shift for Germany cannot be overemphasized. The Federal Republic was in many respects an American creation. The U.S. was a big brother. Quote, that is now over, end quote. Von Rohr wrote almost triumphantly, quote, dramatic events can awaken forces. Nobody strengthened NATO like Putin when he invaded Ukraine. There is no reason why 500 million Europeans cannot defend themselves against Russia alone. They are economically strong enough to be able to do so, and they will have to now, end quote. It is particularly important that, quote, Germany, which has been so hesitant militarily in the past, must now take a leading role as the most important European nation, end quote. Lifting the debt brake on defense spending can only be the beginning, he continued. Europe needs strategic autonomy and also requires nuclear armament. One can find dozens of similar comments. Former Foreign Minister Joschka Fischer of the Greens, for example, called for the reintroduction of compulsory military service and a European nuclear umbrella in an interview with Die Zeit, arguing that, quote, the West is finished, end quote, and that, quote, Europeans and Germans must now think about our own security, end quote. In its election statement, the Sozialistische Gleichheitspartei, the Socialist Equality Party of Germany, the SGP, wrote that the response of Germany's ruling class to Trump's Make America Great Again was Deutschland über alles. It is, quote, responding to Trump by rearming at a pace not seen since Hitler, end quote. This is now being stunningly confirmed. Only the working class, which has to bear the costs and consequences, can put a stop to this war madness by uniting internationally and combining the fight against social cuts and exploitation with the fight against war and capitalism. You can find these articles and more at wsws.org.
The World Socialist website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.